My wife is going to be preaching today. Yeah. So come on up here, honey. They're ready.
Thank you. Wow. Thank you. I feel like we've already had the preach. The preaches. Actually, I'd rather just worship. Actually, I wanted to tell you that y'all were in my living room this week because every week I record the worship because I just want to, on my phone. Yeah, and so, but then I never play it at home because I'm always afraid that it's not going to sound good. It won't be the same, it's not going to be the same. And but this week I thought I'm just gonna play last week's worship because I've just been undone, and last week especially was just really hitting me. And I played it, and I heard your voices. I mean, it felt like I was hearing to the back of the room, like it was strange. It was like a choir, like a murmuration. No, seriously, it was amazing. I could hear the voices, and I thought, what? This is amazing. And so I was worshiping to it, and it was just glorious. And I was crying and laughing and rejoicing. And and this morning, Andrea gave me this oil of joy. And then we're singing about the joy, and I'm going to wreck that with this message, believe me. No, I'm not going to try to wreck it. But I have a thing here that I wanted to show you. I wrapped it carefully so it wouldn't break. Let's throw that there. But it's an hourglass, and I've been looking for one everywhere, and because it's time. And there's so much in the Word to speak about. I thought I'd just read the whole Bible this morning, and because I have time in my hands, not really, but I'm going to put it here. I just think it's amazing because it's a reminder that there isn't a lot of time to do everything that we would want to do in our lifetime for the Lord. And what we were singing about this morning, it's so beautiful, and the words that were shared were so beautiful. I feel like it's an arise and shine time. We hear the word. We've been hearing that word for years, arise and shine, for, see you guys, your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. So the glory of God is literally risen upon us, and it's not just coming. It's here. His glory is on us. And, there's so many things that you can talk about, but I felt like it's such a time of shifting and sifting right now. And the picture that came to me was, skipping around, was of a fault line. And so basically a fault line is a fracture. This is a real simple definition. It's a fracture that appears in a rock because of a significant movement or shift of the rock mass. And so it gets moved and a crack forms. It's a fracture. And that fracture can actually, the fracture in that rock mass can actually lead to an earthquake. And I felt like in us, there are fractures and fault lines. And I don't know about you these days, but, before the pandemic, we all had challenges and huge things, like big stuff, to work through. It's not easy. Like, there's work-related things and family-related things and personal things and things we desire and we're just crying out to God for and changes we want to see made. And then the pandemic comes. And the whole atmosphere has shifted, and it is shifting, and I know it's because of a lot of spiritual warfare, because we don't battle flesh and blood, but principalities and powers, and they're moving. And if we could see with our spiritual eyes, if we could see, we'd be shocked, and we'd be hugging Jesus really tightly. But I feel like the added mounting pressure of the pandemic is pressing down on us. You know, God, he doesn't mind crushing us. And, you know, it's not Old Testament. And if you read Revelation, it's in there. But it's also, you know, if we identify with Christ, Christ was bruised, he was whipped, he was beaten. He did it for us. He left glory to come and be a man. He had to take a man's body, like, so weird. And I was thinking about it this week that must have been a terrible thing to leave a seat of glory where there's 24/7 worship going on all the time. Like, and he did that for us. He got ripped to shreds. He was abused and made fun of and mocked for us, so that we wouldn't have to pay such a price for our sins. And it just, so I think that during this time, he understands the pressure we're under. I don't know if I can say that. I don't like masks, but my husband was very kind, and because right now, people are saying we're not very kind and considerate if we don't wear a mask in public. And I thought, I don't think it's kind and considerate of you to make me wear a mask. But anyway, so my husband got me this beautiful shield, and it's like, you know, it's got a headband thing, and then down it is this clear plastic thing. And so it's good. And so if I have to wear a mask, or if it's expected of me, I can wear that, and it doesn't feel like it's suffocating. But the point is that that's like one small part of the kind of pressure that people are under with this pandemic, not to mention the people that have gotten COVID. But juggling the truth and the lies all the time, we're juggling. You know, they say one thing one day, another thing another day. It depends on what radio station you're listening to or what news station you're listening to, what kind of information you're going to get. The Democratic view or the Republican view, or, you know, it's like, we don't really know what to believe, but we do know we can believe God. We can believe God. We can completely trust God. And yesterday I was in a kind of a peak of frustration, and I put on some worship, but this song came on, and I was actually downstairs here, and this song came on, and the whole atmosphere shifted. It was a praise song. It was a celebrating song, and the whole atmosphere shifted. And until that, it was like, I wondered what my problem was. What's my issue? And I think that's the kind of shifting and sifting that's happening right now. God's causing us to deal with fault lines within us. I think they're being exposed from the pressure. And maybe new ones are being created because of the pressure. But bottom line, he wants us to be focused on him, to be in him, to dance with him, to worship and to be in that place. So it's a place of immunity. It's with God. You know, I mean, what an honor to have Christ in us, and Christ is in the Father, so that makes me in the Father, and the Holy Spirit is in Christ, and Holy Spirit is in me, and we're walking around as tabernacles of glory. That's how we're walking around, and we don't even know it, and we're doing our stuff, but we're walking around with the Holy of Holies in us. And so I'm wondering, how is God going to get us to a place where we're not going to be self-focused, we're not going to be so concerned with our own lives, how is it going to be that we can actually be so in Christ even when there's unfortunate things that happen, like there, even when things mess up in our families or we get bad news, but how do we still just still ourselves and be in that place with the Lord? So there's a lot of scriptures about that, and I felt like we should look at some of the scriptures. So basically the Lord, in this crushing time, he's highlighting places where we need to repent. And it's repenting so that times of refreshing come. I know that for me, I've noticed that my patience is way less than it was 6 months ago. And, you know, I'm quick to get angry about things that they aren't necessarily important enough to be angry about. And so I'm dealing with it, and I thought, okay, God, that's a fault line. That's an area that there's some sort of pressure, and I need to totally submit it to God. And it can be in your private time. It can be your thoughts. It can be the words you're speaking. Are you cursing people? Are you cursing your own life? Are you in your thoughts, determining, you know, what people should be doing and shouldn't be doing and judging them? And, you know, all that stuff it's anti-Christ. It's not the love of God. And so he wants us to line up with his love. He wants us to be so in him and so aware of his presence that we're not going to fall into those traps of selfishness. And, you know, the scripture now, since the pandemic and since we're in this kind of, you know, our backs are against the wall kind of place, some scriptures have really stood out. And one of them is, well, one of them is in Matthew. Sorry, hang on. Oh, sorry. 2 Timothy 3, 1 to 5. And if you want to turn there, if you've got a machine or something, I'm going to open my machine and use that. I've never done this before, but I'm going to do it today. So 2 Timothy 1 to 5, and then also, hang on here, I have to get used to it. And 2 Timothy also 4, 3 to 5. So I'm going to go there. Hang on. 2 Timothy 1 to 5.
2 Timothy 3, 1
to 5. Yes. 2 Timothy 3, 1 to 5. Okay. So this one we know really well, unless you're new in the faith. But this one we should know really well. But it's just what we're living in. But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty, for people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, and having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. He says, avoid such people. Well, we know, we can see the disobedience, we can see the dishonor and the slander and the brutality that is happening in all the terrible crimes and things that are being committed, and even the things that are against authorities, that it's appalling. I mean, I can't even imagine how people can navigate when they're in the midst of that kind of thing happening. And we've got it basically very calm here. So in the message it says, don't be naive. There are difficult times ahead. We've begun them. As the end approaches, people are going to be self-absorbed, money-hungry, self-promoting, stuck-up, profane, contemptuous of parents, crude, coarse, dog-eat-dog. It's like total selfishness, unbending, slanderers, impulsively wild, savage, cynical, treacherous. It goes on and on and on. And then it says, they'll make a show of religion, but behind the scenes, they're animals. Stay clear of these people. That's what it says in the Message, pretty straightforward. And then, excuse me, it says in 1 Timothy 4, hang on just a sec here. If you want to go there. I said 2 Timothy, sorry. I mean 1 Timothy, but it's 2 Timothy 4. And 3 to 5? Yes. Okay. Oh, I like my Bible better than this. Okay. So for the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded. Endure suffering. That's what we heard from Stefan last week about endurance. Do the work of an evangelist or whatever it is that you're called to do. Do the work of the ministry. Fulfill your ministry. That's what this word says. And in the Message, it says, you're going to find that there will be times when people will have no stomach for solid teaching. Now, we know people who were saved and loving Jesus and evangelizing in downtown Eastside, and, you know, they're following Jesus. And there at this time, they were listening to different teachings online, and they're not following Jesus anymore. They've totally rejected him. And I wondered how on earth can this happen? But you know what? We have to be alert to voices, and we're hearing so many things. Like I know with my grandkids, they come and tell me how to do things and I said, where'd you get that from? TikTok? And like, who told you that? And I said, make sure you check out your sources. Like don't just believe everything you're hearing. And they have access to hear things, and their friends have access. And so, you know, there's new ways to wash your clothes, and there's new ways to make food. And, you know, apparently we have never tried those ways. I'm almost 70, but we've never tried those ways. But anyway, but we have to check out the sources. So whatever we're hearing, we have to check it out. And that's why the church is so beautiful. You know, the church should be a place of accountability. No doubt the world wants us to stop meeting, but it should be a place of accountability. But it's got to be accountability in love. Like, you can't be speaking to someone. Well, you should be speaking to someone the way you want to be spoken to. And so it is a place of accountability. And I know many people that are not going to church because the church hurt us. And I thought, when I heard that, I thought, the church hurt you. You are the church. But so some people in a church hurt them, but because of that, and if it was a pastor, that's a bad deal. But doesn't mean the whole church hurt them, because a pastor is one position, one ministry in the church. There are tons of ministries in this body alone, even with the few people that we have. And so when you say the church hurt you, who hurt you? And it's not flesh and blood anyway. We know where the hurt comes from. And so I couldn't even imagine leaving church. That is my safe place. And thanks to you, the remnant, it is absolutely safe. I was thanking God for this church this week, because really, when we went through our crisis, our great storm, those that stayed ministered to us without even knowing they were ministering to us sometimes. Sometimes they did know. But there was such relationship and beautiful support, and like we can even imagine not being with this church. In fact, I really think it's the church Jesus loves. That's what I call it, the church Jesus loves. And I even suggested to Pastor Randy and the elders that we change the name to the church Jesus loves. And basically, like, that would be TCT. JL. That's not so bad. On a check? No, I just thought, because we are. We really are. His presence is here. And you have to know, like, we talk to the people who visit us and sing and stuff, worship here and preach. We talk to them, and they say, man, it's easy to preach here. It's not easy for me. But they say it's easy to preach here. And they feel the presence of God here. And I'm thinking, wow, do we take that for granted? Although I don't take anything for granted anymore. But you know, we have something very special here. We actually have the Lord's presence. He likes you. He likes coming here. And I remember hearing Heidi Baker speak one time, and she said, I go to churches. Now, this isn't to put other churches down at all, but she did say that she goes to churches, and then she wants to get up and say, you want me to speak here? Like, without worshiping? And this is after the worship time. And I think that anything can get like that. We can start taking anything for granted. We can take the Lord for granted. And another thing that was very interesting to me, you know, we're reading Secrets of the Secret Place, and one of the things Bob Sorge says in a chapter ahead of time, but he said that God told him one day, you treat me like a gas station. You come to me, you fill up, and then you get in your ministry vehicle and you go do the thing you love the best, ministry. And he was so taken aback by that. And he repented of that, because it was like he was using God for his purposes. And that's actually what the Lord is talking about in, just a minute, Matthew, hang on here. I'm just going to go there. Matthew in my Bible. Okay. It's Matthew 7, 21. So it says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, those are big words, you know, because obviously if they're calling him Lord, they must know him as Lord. But he says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. We heard that this morning, doing the will of God. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then he said, I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. That's harsh. That's really harsh. And so I'm going to go to Matthew here, because I want you to hear it in the message. I was just having fun looking at the message as I was looking at my Bible. But it said this, knowing the correct password, saying master, master, for instance, isn't going to get you anywhere with me. What is required is serious obedience. Doing what my Father wills. Your will be done, O Lord. That's what Jesus did. I can see it now at the final judgment, thousands strutting up to me and saying, Master, we preached the message. We bashed the demons. Our God-sponsored projects had everyone talking. And do you know what I'm going to say? You missed the boat. All you did was use me to make yourselves important. You don't impress me one bit. You're out of here. It's ouch. It's a huge ouch. Like, so, you know, I'm pretty secure thinking I'm going to go to heaven, but what this has done is make me question how I'm using my time with the Lord. And one of the things I read was, this is a while ago, but that, you know, if you want to know how your time is going with the Lord, watch to see what urgent things come up that you have to leave your time and go and deal with this urgent matter. And I thought, well, that doesn't happen very often, but there's like urgent little grandchildren sometimes, and there's urgent other matters. But you know, during this 3 years, Like, I used to have steady time with the Lord. But you know what? During this 3 years of you know, after our big bomb went off in the church, the time that I spend with the Lord is more meaningful than ever. And now I realize that I have to guard it more than ever. Like, I have to, like, I have sweet times with the Lord, but in the time with the Lord, there's a place where you check your heart. You look for the fault lines, and you say, okay, God, is there anything that I'm doing that isn't bringing you pleasure, that's not pleasing to you? Because I don't want it in my life. I don't want it in my life. And we realize that, you know, we've got this incredible relationship with God. I was just saying to my grandchildren this morning, that said, you want to spend time with him here? And they do their little devotionals and things like that. But said, you want to spend time with Jesus here? Because otherwise, he won't know you when you get to the door and you want to go to heaven. And somebody one time says, you know, why would Jesus want you in heaven when you don't even want to be with him here on earth? And so there's a lot of stuff going on in our lives. It's like a whirlwind of activity. So many things are important to us, but nothing, and especially with what we're dealing with now, nothing is more important than getting in his face and hearing his heart, even him showing us who to pray for, because there's everybody to pray for. I don't know anybody who doesn't have some need in their family or in their personal life. There are so many needs. But, you know, Jesus, he's got it covered. If we're listening to Jesus, he will have it covered with the people in the body, because he'll have Audrey praying for one thing, and then he'll have Alina praying and crying out for something. And, you know, it'll just go on and on like that, that they won't be praying for the same thing maybe, but it's going to get covered. But if we're not listening, we don't get it. We don't get how important it is to actually be in a living relationship. I'm not saying you don't get it. And I really think our church is awesome, and I'm probably preaching to the choir, but I am saying that it's a step up for me to even push in harder because of the times that we're living in, and because I don't want to give in to fear, and I don't want to have a, you know, I'm not wearing a mask if Jesus is saying to me, put the mask on. You know what I'm saying? And like, it's whatever he says, I want to do it. And he wants us to be at peace with all men. He wants us to be lights and show love. He doesn't want us, you know, we laid down our rights when we gave our hearts to the Lord, didn't we? I mean, we gave up our rights, our personal rights. Do you understand that? If you don't get it, you gave it up when you gave your heart to the Lord. You said, now, it's not my will, it's yours be done. And if you've got a husband, it's preferring him to yourself. What he needs is more important than what you need. And to the husbands, it's what your wife needs. It's actually more important than what you need. And to each other, your needs are more important than my personal needs. I don't think we act like that, but that's what our heart should be, you know? And that's why, I think that everything God does is good. And one thing that I wanted to say too is, I think when the big crisis happened in our church, and some of you might not be familiar with it, I know it was the Lord. He spoke to us weeks before that and said, don't be looking at some sort of conspiracy or some sort of... Now, there was things at work in people that were unhealthy, but what actually caused this thing to happen. God had a plan. Like, so he doesn't mind crushing to bring forth the oil. He doesn't mind bruising us to bring us into greater healing. He doesn't seem to mind when we suffer so much, but he loves when we're calling out for healing. He loves to see us have faith for miracles. He loves that. But he is our God, and he knows, he sees. And he knows what we need better than we know what we need. Does that make sense? Like, he's a pretty awesome God. And we don't have to worry when we're in his hands anyway, right? And you know, the same goes with love. You know, we don't love the way the world loves. This is how the world loves. You know it. It's you do for me, and I'll do for you. You love me, and I'll love you. You offend me, and we're done. That is the way the world does it. Because we know people. I know people that have been friends for 55 years, and there was an offense, and they cut it off, and haven't seen each other since. It's wrong. Really, it's wrong. But I think that we're talking about foundations. The foundation, really, here is knowing the Lord, doing his will, and loving the way he's called us to love. It's an unselfish love. And people have trouble with the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and I just can't see that it's only Jesus. I can't see Jesus praying to the Father and then, like, he prayed to the Father. I believe in the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. But I think that what we can't understand, we can't even comprehend, the kind of love unity was there is so perfect. It's such perfect. They have perfect unity because there's perfect love. There's you know, elevating Jesus, elevating the Holy Spirit, elevating the Father. It's just done. They're in completely together. And that actually is the call that the Lord wants us to be in. It's a supernatural thing. It's a supernatural love he's called us to. It's not a normal thing. It's love. It's love. There's no selfishness in his perfect love. There's none. And we got a long way to go, I think, as a church in general, to come to a place where we won't have the selfishness, because we're very aware of ourselves. Like, you know, we care about ourselves, but he's called us to a supernatural, holy love. It's like a high call. It's probably the highest call. He said it was all the law and the prophets are based on those two commands, to love God with all our heart, soul, and mind, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. Like, we're supposed to actually love that way. And if we don't go after any other goal, that'd be a perfect goal to go after, because everything else falls into line. Faith, everything, patience, kindness, goodness, the gentleness, it all falls in when we're in his beautiful love, his perfect love. And you know, when he's called us to arise and shine, we can't be arising and shining when we're hating our brother. And in 1 John it says, if you hate your brother, you're in darkness. You're not in the light. And so we can't shine to the world if we've got stuff like that in our hearts. We just can't. And so it's like these are fault lines, right? We gotta actually perfect submission. I was listening to that song, Perfect Submission. It's like laying down. If Jesus was crucified for us, if he would actually take a human body and then be completely tortured and abused, then he would call us into nothing more than he would do himself. Lay down our lives. Like, what about when I have a need and someone else has a need? What do we do? who's gonna show the perfect love? It sounds very small, but it affects a great big vast church. It affects us globally. What we do in our own home affects this church. How we behave in our homes. How if we worship in our homes, it's affecting the church. If we forgive, and that's another part. Forgiveness is a part of the high call of love that he's called us to. He's called us to forgive from the heart, even if the person who has injured you or offended you doesn't apologize, doesn't own it. Even if he's called us to forgive anyway. And he's called us not to hold a grudge. And he's called us not to pick up offense. We can so easily pick up offense. I'll wake up tomorrow morning and I'll probably pick up an offense and I have to lay it down right away. Like, ooh, like get rid of it. But his perfect love, we celebrate the joys and successes of others. We're not jealous of it. We're happy. We're happy for it. And I think when the church arises in the perfect love that God's calling us into, the world will be amazed. They'll be following us into the house of the Lord. They'll be running up to us. Why are you like this? Why do you? I just feel such love around you. Can you imagine? Yes, I believe that that's what's going to happen. And one of my favorite scriptures is in, hang on, and I'm pretty well going to close with this. It's in Matthew. A lot of my favorite scriptures are in Matthew. And it's the Beatitudes. Hang on. Oswald Chambers says that, I love the Beatitudes. Do you love the Beatitudes? I just love them. Oswald Chambers says that the Beatitudes are the dynamite of the Holy Spirit. They explode when the circumstances of our lives cause them to do so. So the Beatitudes are the dynamite of the Holy Spirit. And they explode when the circumstances in our lives allow them to do so. So look at the circumstances in our lives. I'm just going to read the Beatitudes, but focus on the last two. And it's out of Matthew because Luke doesn't have all the Beatitudes, so Matthew does. So it says, blessed are the poor in spirit, the distressed, the beggarly, the cringing, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who grieve, who mourn and wail, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the humble, the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who are hungry and they crave and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, the compassionate, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, the clean, the clear, for they shall see God. When your heart is pure, who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, and who does not lift his soul to an idol. And you think of all the distractions are idols these days. Blessed, and and blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. And blessed are those, number 10 and number 11, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile, taunt, insult, chide you, and persecute you, and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account because of my name. Rejoice and be glad, he says. He says, rejoice greatly, exult, jump for joy. Literally means, the glad word means jump for joy. Rejoice and jump for joy, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. And when you read how they persecuted the prophets, Jesus is telling us, jump for joy if we get the opportunity. So he was tortured. And I don't want to be tortured. But even in Revelation, it talks about the ones that were beheaded around the altar of the Lord, and how long till you avenge, O Lord? And an angel or something says, you know, I gave them white garments or something. I just read it a while ago. Gave them white garments and said, you have to wait till the others that are going to be beheaded join you. Jump for joy. It's like, really? Jump for joy. If we get the opportunity, but for the sake of Christ. It's for the sake of Christ. Do we have a long way to go or what? Like, I mean, you read the words of Jesus. You can't just tuck them away and pretend you didn't hear them. He's like, in order to follow the Lord, we need like total submission. Hang on. Secure. The way to live life, the way to life, the way to God is vigorous and requires total attention and serious obedience to my Father's will. And so when you think of Peter was crucified upside down. John was boiled in oil, and he didn't die that way. And Stephen was stoned, but he didn't feel any pain. We don't think so. So not that we're all looking forward to this. We're not looking forward to this. And I don't know if we'll even see it in our lifetime. And plus, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way, I will hear from heaven and heal their sin. No, and forgive their sin and heal their land. And so I know that he makes it very clear, the Lord makes it very clear, that when we pray, there is delay. Like Hezekiah, he was so glad that everything was going to be okay in his lifetime. He wasn't concerned for the generations to come. I feel concerned for the generations to come, my children and grandchildren. I know you do. Like I don't know what we're looking at, but you know what? We don't know what God has in mind. And Pastor Randy's always saying, God's up to something. And so what I do know is that his word is true, and no matter what happens to me, you have to hold me accountable to the Lord, because I'm going to hold you accountable to the Lord. And because your life depends on it, and my life depends on it, and I want to see you in heaven, and I want to be in heaven. And so following his word is really important. I don't want to hear. Can you imagine? Can you imagine going up to heaven and having done all this ministry work, and then finding out, away from me, I never knew you? Oh, and look where I have to go. Like, well, you know what? I sure don't want that for anybody. I don't want that for anybody. So anyway, back to the fact that we are the church that Jesus loves. That's our new name. Anyway, I know it's a mouthful. You know, I kind of talked about a lot of things. But I believe that the Lord has good intentions toward us. It's harvest time. So there's work to be done. But as we're doing the work, we're going to be okay. But as we're doing the work, let's do it with pure hearts. Let's do it with love. Like love. Laying down your life. Love for your brothers and sisters. Let's drop the offenses. One time thought, carrying an offense around is like carrying poo-poo in your pocket. Like why? It stinks and it makes you smell, and it makes people stand back, right? They don't want to be around people who are offended all the time. You don't want to be offended. You want to be gracious, and you just want to be loving, and you just really want to see people do better than you, right? That's the heart of the Lord. We want to see people do better than us.